sorry?
I won't tell you.
I'll leave it for a minute. For today, please do the pledge of allegiance. Commissioner Morgan, can you please lead us?
Sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Now we can do a roll call, please. Start with the fifth district, Commissioner Bartlett.
Here.
I have Eileen. She was the one that had a PowerPoint.
Let's start again with Commissioner Rice from the third district.
Here.
Vice Chair Morgan.
Here.
Commissioner Hawes absent, and myself, Chairwoman Perez. For that, and now, let's review and approve the minutes from the May 10th meeting. Can I have a motion to approve, please? If everybody had a chance to review them.
We have, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Wonderful. Can we take a vote, please? All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays, abstentions? Okay, motion passes. Okay. Discussion item one, Executive Officer Justin Kirk, can you please approve that motion, please? And with that in?
Yes.
Thank you.
Item number one is a public hearing of an appeal of the zoning administrator's approval of pending application 22-0104 for a coastline development permit and variance. The applicant is Steve Olson, property owner. Appellant is Neil and Charlene Grover. The location is 52 Emerald Bay, Laguna Beach, otherwise known as Assessor Parcel Number 0530692. This is located within the 5th District Supervisory District. Our contract planner, Kevin Canning, will be presenting on behalf of staff.
Thank you. Good afternoon. As Justin has explained, the application was two-part. First, for a coastal development permit in order to demolish the existing 2,500 square foot home and then construct a 5,750 square foot residence on three levels with attached garage spaces for three cars. Also, as a secondary request, was a variance to allow reduced front and rear setbacks. Staff reviewed the project and recommended approval to the zoning administrator. The project, in terms of zoning criteria, meets all of the county's criteria, meets the criteria of the local coastal plan that applies to, the Emerald Bay community. Looking at intensity of development and the rest, obviously a lot of applications or a lot of things within the LCP don't apply. It's not on the beach, not within a sensitive habitat. The variance application was to allow 5 foot rear and front setbacks. The property is zoned R1, which normally would be 20 foot front and 25 foot rear setbacks. However, in the Emerald Bay community, there is a majority of substandard lots that are, for the most part, less than the R1 standard of 7,200 square feet. And there's a lot of topography to make up across the community. So setback variances requests are common. And given the unique application and constraints within that community compared to other R1 lots within the County of Orange, variance setbacks have often been approved. Staff recommended approval of this variance setback. And I'd note that they requested a 5 foot front yard setback, but there's also a 5 foot utility easement across the front of the lot. So effectively it has a 10 foot setback in the front. The processing history of the project, and the zoning administrator approved it per staff recommendation. The processing history of the project was originally filed in May of 2022, routed through various county departments, and the LCP requires us to refer it to the Emerald Bay Community Association for their review and comment. As is most common with other applications in the community, the applicants had already received EBCA approval by the time they filed with the county. So he filed with the county along with the Architectural Committee and the Emerald Bay Community Association Board approval of the project. As we got close to a hearing, notices went out, and we were I was contacted by a representative of one of the neighbors saying that they had some issues with the EBCA approval, and they were in process of having continued discussions with Emerald Bay Community Association. So the original hearing date of December 1st in 2022 was continued without discussion to allow them to continue those discussions with Emerald Bay. The thought process being is, well, Emerald Bay may change their mind or change their approval or something like that. It's continued to January 19th. January 19th came, we ended up continuing it again because those discussions hadn't completed with Emerald Bay Community Association. Finally, the project was heard by the zoning administrator on March 2nd. Even at that time, the appellants were continuing to try to work with Emerald Bay Community Association to get them to change or modify their approval of the project. But by March 2nd, staff's assessment is the appellants had met with Emerald Bay Community Association, had appeared before their architectural committee on many occasions, presented their arguments, and even in considering their appeal, Emerald Bay Community Association had not modified their approval at all. So we went ahead and opened the hearing, had the hearing on March 2nd, at which time the zoning administrator approved the project. The grounds of the appeal I've outlined in the staff report are primarily focused on the appellant's concern about the failure of the community association to follow their CC&Rs, their procedural requirements, etc. As I said before, the project meets all county criteria with the exception of that variance for front and rear setbacks that we are recommending approval of. And then I repeat that the county does not have view protection as a criteria, private view protection. The LCP contains language within it that recognizes that all new development in the community is monitored and influenced by the Emerald Bay Community Architectural Committee. The community, the Architectural Committee reviews construction and landscape plans to ensure project conformity with recorded restrictions, ensure project compatibility with architectural design and character of the community, and ensure that existing ocean views of surrounding property owners within the community are preserved. So that is on the community association, not the county. The county, the only way we get into massing controls is how big a building can be, setbacks, height, etc. So staff feels that none of the points of the the appellant's argument have to do with the county process. We considered is those arguments. They have to do with the Emerald Bay Community Association's process, not ours. The project, in our assessment, meets the local coastal plan criteria, justifying approval of a coastal development permit, and meets the criteria for hardships and the findings necessary for granting a variance for front and rear setbacks. Findings to make those approvals are included in your staff report. Staff recommends that you, after a public hearing taking testimony, that you deny the appeal and you approve the planning application for both the coastal development permit and the variance. Available to answer any of the questions.
Thank you very much.
Commissioners, any questions? Commissioner? Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. So we're talking about a variance for the front and rear yard setback here, Mr. Cannon?
Yes.
And is this, it's probably not, given the, how you describe the community, it's probably not the first variance for front and rear yard setbacks. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of what's happened relating to front and rear yard setbacks in the Emerald Bay community?
Well, obviously, every application is assessed individually. But you have within this community, compared to other R1 lots within the county of Orange, there are predominantly substandard in terms of size. There is a lot of topography within the community that presents other constraints. You have homes that either the back up to Coast Highway, so they try to, you know, step away from that, push toward the, you know, the other side of the building envelope. There's also, in approving in the Emerald Bay Community Architectural Guidelines and seeking to preserve ocean views, you know, they put up story poles and everybody goes out and takes a look at this. Very often, their approval shapes where the structure may be on the side in order to preserve other views. So we look at that criteria too. There are architectural guidelines and CC&R constraints in this community that aren't on other R1 lots within the county. So given all of those factors, as I say, the typical Emerald Bay application is a coastal development permit, a setback for variance, and then very often a use permit for wall height due to grading into a slope to create a usable yard area. So that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. Any further questions from my fellow commissioners? Any? No, saying none? Okay. At this time, I'd like to open it up for public comments. And just as a reminder, we do have public comment cards, so I believe they're right behind us right there. Please fill them out and turn them in. The Executive Director, Justin Kirk, right there, please. They would like to take a moment to do that. And I'll go open up for public hearing.
Just to denote the time, the public hearing was opened at 1:43.
Okay, thank you. I do see a couple people wanting to speak, so.
We have received two requests to speak. We will start with Robert LeVay. Just as a note for those speaking at the podium, press the button with the person on it. That'll illuminate the microphone. Oh, and as a reminder, there's a 3-minute timer.
Thank you.
I take it you can hear me?
Yes. Thank you.
Commissioners, Chairperson, thank you for hearing our public comments today. My name is Robert LeVay. I'm an attorney in Newport Beach who represents the Grovers, Neil and Charlene. Neil is seated here. First, we have a tremendous amount of respect for Kevin Canning and his team's work. They've done excellent work for the county for years and has a wonderful reputation. This case is more complicated than it might first appear to be. The issues at hand, Mr. Canning pointed out that, as we all know, the county's discretion is much larger than the narrow discretion of the Emerald Bay Community Association. So what might not fit for the EBCA could fit for the county, a lot of which appears true to be here. The issue we have, however, are some fundamental problems that occurred with respect to the Emerald Bay Community Association. They were operating with an ill and not properly constituted architectural committee that made a recommendation to them, which was relied upon as per the minutes, which is totally inaccurate from the facts. And that was with respect to a concept exhibit shown to the architectural committee with respect to parking. It's a little bit complicated, but they relied upon information that was inaccurate, to summarize. The reliance on that led to their approval, and they haven't revisited the issue. My client likely intends on seeking judicial review of their preliminary approvals, not final approval, as a result of that. The other issue, which is more applicable to this hearing, is with respect to the variance request. With all due respect for Kevin Canning, as I indicated, this is not your typical variance request. We have two studies that demonstrate that the size, i.e. the mass and scale, of this proposed residence is between 1.57 and 1.65 times the mass and scale of all the other properties on this cul-de-sac. It's a very narrow road, and you've got, again, 1.6 to round it, size the times the size of the other residence. So I believe that the objection to the variance request is well-founded because we are no longer respecting essentially the architectural homogeneity of the street. And, excuse me. And I'm referring to the staff report. Bear with me if I run over. Or may I please have my client's time, if he could deal with his 3 minutes, perhaps?
I didn't hear you. I apologize.
Could perhaps I have my client's 3 minutes, if he were kind enough to yield me his time? Mr. Grover?
Yes, that's fine.
Thank you, Mr. Grover. So the coastal development permit, as required by the LPC, the Emerald Bay Community Association, approval of May 22nd, found that the proposal was consistent with their local architectural and design criteria. This is simply not the case, as the project, and Mr. Canning indicates, quote unquote, is compatible with surrounding development in its size, design, and massing. Our two exhibits clearly demonstrate that the project is not compatible with the development in the size, design, and massing, being 1.6 times greater than the other properties on that street. I know that we have the right to file an appeal with respect to the Coastal Commission permit, which we will likely do. However, that is a relevant finding that I believe impacts the Planning Commission's decision as to whether or not they should grant the variance. Again, at 1.6 times, 5 times the other properties, and I have the study here if anybody would like to look at it. It's all based on public information pulled from county records. We believe that this is not a typical variance request, and that the variance request should be denied, or that this appeal hearing be postponed to provide the commission time to verify what I'm saying.
I have one question, and
You referenced an exhibit, but I'm not sure we've been provided that material or information.
When we provided, one of the exhibits to our appeal was our second, our request for resolution with the EBCA, the Emerald Bay Community Association, and that was an exhibit to that document. So that's something that the Planning Commission has had for, not the Planning Commission, but your commission's had for quite some time.
Thank you.
And again, I have a copy of it here if you'd like me to remit it to you for the record.
Perhaps it would be good for you to remit it to me to the record, and then I can pass it along to the commissioners so that they can view it. It might be available on our link.
Everything that was submitted by Mr. LeVay over the course of this process was attached
thank you.
To what was given to the Planning Commission.
So I had just one quick question on this, if I may.
Yes, please. But I put it up for questions.
You said that the study is related to just the homes on the cul-de-sac?
Yes.
Have you looked at the homes?
Well, the entire street.
So the entire street?
Yes.
Do you happen to know how it compares to the entire neighborhood?
What this is, Emerald Bay is governed by various tracts. This is tract number 940. So that was the population that we pulled from. And if you'll see, my study refers to both the immediate houses in the cul-de-sac and the houses on that entire street. There's part A and part B. One comes in at about 1.6, the other, or 5.7, the other one comes in at 1.65. The overarching point is, it is not your typical variance request because you've got a rather large, a significantly larger home than is elsewhere. So on that basis, we believe that the variance request is not founded and should not be permitted.
What's the, do you mind sharing what the upper limit is on the homes that were studied? One of my favorite sayings is, if your head's on fire and your feet are on ice, on average, you're fine. So averages don't necessarily give us a great indication of the overall, you know, sample size. So I'd be curious to know if the upper limit has, you know, if we're below the upper limit and there's other homes, so I'm just curious because it'll be
open. The study does refer to one home which is of similar size. Okay. However, what the study cannot reflect, because it was denied, there's a homeowner by the name of Jeff Speed and his wife who were denied their application based on the mass and scale of their house, which is only three homes from the subject's home.
And do you know the size of that home?
I can provide that to the commission.
If I may, it was going to be just over 4,000 square feet, but okay. Right now it's at 2,500.
And on what size lot, do you know?
His lot size, the Speed lot is on that study. You'll see Jeff Speed, his name.
Denied by who?
Pardon me?
Who denied?
Oh, the Emerald Bay Board denied his application on the basis of mass and scale. And my client happens to be on the board of the Emerald Bay Association. I think he can vouch for that.
There's a prior architectural committee, a prior board. Yeah.
Madam Chair?
Yes,
thank you very much, Mr. LeVay. Your analysis is very well done. I remember reviewing this in the staff materials that were provided us. I do have a couple of questions for Mr. Canning, if you wouldn't mind. Mr. Canning, is there anything in the regulatory framework that we have purview over that dictates the information or the statistics here that Mr. LeVay is demonstrating here? So if a house down the street is 1.57 times bigger than the house up the street, is there anything in the county's regulations that dictate a way that we should be reviewing that?
The only, when jurisdictions seek to regulate that kind of thing, they usually go to a floor area ratio of how much square footage per lot. I am, in residential zones, I believe we only have one residential zone that has a floor area ratio, and I think that's the E4, which is a 10,000 square foot minimum lot size. In the R1, which is this zone, 7,200 square foot minimum lot size. Again, as I said, these are mostly below that. And then the only regulatory for massing structures, how size the how big the structure might be put on that thing, is building height and setbacks.
And as far as building height and setback, how is the applicant meeting all of those standards?
The applicant meets our building height. It meets side setbacks, and they are requesting for a variance to go from eight and a half feet, maybe a couple inches
eight
off.
4 inches.
And they're asking to reduce that to 5 feet, mm-hmm. in front and rear.
And you said at the beginning that all of the variances or the applications are considered on an individual basis because all the properties are rather unique to themselves.
Yes, but not just one neighbor to the other. It's one R1 lot to R1 lots in the county of Orange, which is much broader than Emerald Bay.
Right.
So that's why you have similar situations side by side by side in Emerald Bay because of their unique circumstances, the size of the subdivided lots, the topography, that doesn't apply to something in North Tustin.
Got it, thank you.
And also because of the findings that are required. So on page 7, the findings for a variance are particularized to the property. So the variance findings, that's another reason that each property is looked at individually.
May I speak to that, Commissioner Bartlett?
Go ahead.
So the zoning section she's referred to, 791.25.6 at section B, provides the granting of a variance is subject to no special privileges. Approval of the application will not constitute a grant of special privileges which are inconsistent with the limitations placed upon other properties in the vicinity and subject to the same zoning regulations. So what I'm saying here is because of the size, the increased size of this particular property with respect to lot 940, that does constitute, if this variance were granted, it would constitute a special privilege over and above the neighboring properties. And again, we're not asking the Planning Commission to decide upon this today. If you require more time, we would respectfully ask for a continuance, and we can submit additional information on this one specific issue.
Madam Chair, County Council, did you have any response to that?
Just that that's an accurate statement of what the zoning code says. And as to the massing, I mean, I think that the samples that were given, is that cul-de-sac, as I look at, and I was just looking at the pictures that we put in, there are some massive houses across the street that look to me much bigger than 5,750 square feet. So I know that the applicant has also turned in a speaker card, so perhaps there will be an opportunity to hear about some more of that. But
thank you for that. I appreciate that, Council.
I might add that the home sizes.
Just one second. Thank you, though. I appreciate that. This time, Commissioner Rice, did you? Commissioner Rice, do you have any further questions? You're good. Commissioner Rice, did you have any questions?
Thank you.
Please.
I guess it's just a general question as to try to wrap my head around the appellant's request of us. Now, what was granted is, or what we're looking at is a variance, the setback. Is
yes.
that correct? But is the appellant asking us to deny the setback request based upon this issue of, is it mass and scale? I forgot what the
yes.
mass and scale.
Yes.
How are those two things related, or are you asking us, if I misunderstand this, then it sounds like you're asking us to use our discretion to deny a setback variance based upon something which may or may not be related to setbacks, if you understand what I'm saying.
I do, Commissioner Rice.
So how are they related?
So the requirement in Section B is it will not constitute, the granting of the variance will not constitute the grant of a special privilege, which is inconsistent with the limitations placed on other properties. That setback variance provides the space and the room for them to build a home which is 1.6 times the size of the other homes that we've indicated. So indeed, that would constitute the granting of a special privilege. But and had not the neighbor three homes over been denied his home based on mass and scale, the situation might be different. However, we're looking at a situation where it's clearly a special privilege granted to this applicant versus one of the only previous applicants on this track 940.
Thank you for that. County staff, I believe you wanted to say something. Was there a response? Well, I see here you talk about staff finding special circumstances relating to the property for the shape. So can you talk a little bit more about that part?
Well, again, I think Commissioner Rice just made the point that the setback does not necessarily mean a bigger building. You've got height, you've got width of the building, you've got the shape of the lot is going to dictate a lot of these things. And the LCP charges the Emerald Bay Community Association to make those value judgments based upon their architectural guidelines and their CC&Rs. The county is not equipped. We don't have the regulatory standards to make those kind of measurements, judgments, weighing of facts. The information regarding the massing of structures, other residents in this neighborhood, also does not include any setbacks, any reduced setbacks that they may have. Because by and large, very generalized statement, but by and large, 99% of homes within Emerald Bay have reduced setbacks when compared to the R1 standards. So that is not a special privilege. That is something that is across a wide swath of Emerald Bay.
Thank you. Go ahead, Commissioner Rice.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Mr. LaVey or Mr. Canning, so are we looking at the special privilege? Is the special privilege that you're referring to, Mr. LaVey, is it the mass and scale, or is it the setback? Or is it, because I'm wondering, again, as Mr. Canning brought up, we're wondering whether the setback is really unusual and would constitute this special privilege business. Or is it that it results in the mass and scale?
Well, they're intertwined. The approval of the variance would provide the space for the mass and scale. It may be most appropriate that this hearing be continued and we can submit concrete information on that point to address Commissioner Rice's concerns. We would be entirely for that if you'd like us to support that. However, we have a real situation where it does constitute a special circumstance because of the mass and scale of the home, combined with the fact that we believe the Architectural Committee at Emerald Bay, because they were lacking in an architect, a licensed architect of two required, we believe that they did not properly, or were not properly equipped in terms of brain trust to properly analyze this application. And we have clear evidence from state records that they were an improperly constituted committee that the board relied upon. So there you have it, Madam Commissioner.
I will just weigh in on that briefly, in that not our purview, as you can imagine, right? I don't know if there's an appeal, you know, I don't know what goes on at that committee, but the EDCA, if there is an appeal, and we've heard that they've...
There's an appeal.
Okay. That they've tried to, you know, get them to change the ruling, but, you know, that's not our purview to change their ruling or to change the constitution of an architectural committee. That's not under the county's purview, just making sure.
I appreciate that, thank you. Commissioner Bartlett, you had a follow-up question?
No, I think I'm done for now. Thank you, Mr. LeBay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Next speaker, please.
The next speaker we have is Steve Scheck, and that is the last speaker on this item.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairperson and members of the Commission. Thank you for your time this afternoon. My name is Steve Scheck. I'm counsel for the homeowner, Steve and Carrie Olson. Obviously, it goes without saying, my intention today was not to come speak. We're in full agreement with county staff and their recommendation. We believe that there is no due respect need be given to Kevin and his team because we think they got everything right. There's a lot to unpack based on what we just heard. I think the best quote was from county council, not our purview. I think that's a good way to look at this. As noted, the association has rules and standards that need to be met that are stricter and more stringent than what the county looks at. And I think Mr. Canning has demonstrated that's the case in his staff report. The matters that have been raised today by Mr. LeBay, I give him immense credit. He's a very good lawyer. He is trying to take one of the county purview areas, which is this variance, and trying to take something that is a association-related matter and stuff into that hole, and that goes to mass and scale. I think just it's important to remember that this project went through Architectural Review Committee twice at the association level. It then went to the board twice. It was approved by the board in May of 2022. The design that was approved in May of 2022 is unchanged. Since May of 2022, we've been processing these matters with the county. As Mr. Canning indicated, there have been continuances of the hearings before the zoning administrator and then this appeal. In the meantime, we've had ongoing conversations, communications with the Grovers and their council and with the association. All those communications, all those discussions have yielded not a single change in the approval. Most recently, on May 3rd of 2023, the board gave a final approval rejecting the second request for reconsideration by the Grovers. The board, in its review and approval of the project, takes mass and scale into account. And mass and scale is, with due respect, I would defer to the board and the members of the Architectural Review Committee, all of whom live in Emerald Bay, as to what is an appropriate mass and scale for Emerald Bay. The old adage, you know, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics, I think, is appropriate here as well. I don't know where Mr. LeBay is coming up with this 1.6. Mass and scale relates to the size of a home relative to its lot, relative to its configuration. As Mr. Canning indicated, all the lots in Emerald Bay are unique. A lot of them have hillside issues, a lot of them have slopes. Of note, I'm not aware that any home on this street has a 20-foot front yard setback. I believe many of the homes on this street are very large in size. I know they're very large in size. And I believe, without actual, you know, facts, the house that Mr. Speed's house that was denied by the association is noted, those are on separate facts based upon that proposed design and what was going to be there. If I could just continue my thought, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
Based on the design of that house on that lot, which I'm informed is significantly smaller than the Olson's lot. And so again, when you talk about mass and scale of a home, you're taking into account all those factors. And again, I would submit that the Architectural Committee and the board, which has those factors as specific items in their purview when they're reviewing these applications, took that into account and made a determination that there was no excess mass and scale on this lot. As far as the issue of granting a special privilege, if you take Mr. LeBay's argument to its heart, every single variance ever granted is a grant of special privilege. It's a variance. So, I mean, is a variance, by his argument, any house that gets a variance, unless every other house gets a variance, is a granting of special privilege. Even if that's the case, as Mr. Canning indicated, the majority of homes in Emerald Bay have variances for setbacks due to the extreme nature of the unique nature of the lots in there. So we just don't think that's a compelling argument. So we have been, my clients, have been moving on this project for the better part of 2 years. They had approval by the association over a year ago. The request for continuance by Mitchell LeBay is a continued pattern that his clients have tried to do, which is delay, delay, delay. He's already indicated he's going to appeal this approval if, in fact, the commission approves it. He's already indicated he's going to sue the association based on their approval. At this point, we don't believe a continuance is going to change anything. We believe that the law and the staff's decision is the correct one, and we would urge you to deny the appeal. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Any questions from fellow commissioners? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we have any other people who wanted to speak?
We have no further requests to speak. If there are any other members of the public that would like to speak, now is the time.
Seeing none, then go ahead and close public comments. Okay. At this time, I'm going to ask for a discussion. Do you have any items you'd like to report on this?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'd like to thank the Mr. LeBay and the applicant for their comments. Looking at just the facts that are under our purview, and that we have various sizes and shapes and topographies of 7,200 square foot of R1 lots. Within the Emerald Bay community. We've had several meetings with the Emerald Bay Community Association, who've continued to recommend their approval. It meets all the applicable criteria of the county, with the exception of the setbacks, which have been quite prevalent in the community. The zoning administrator recommended approval. It seems like for what's under our purview here as the Planning Commission, that I'm leaning towards supporting the application, and I'm ready to make a motion when the time comes.
Thank you. Commissioner Rice, any discussion?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I am concerned with the idea of special privilege, but maybe not in the same way. There's a flip side of special privilege, and that would be, whatever you would call that, special denial, anti-privilege, or we'll make up a term. So it's hard for me to know, and we don't have any numbers here as to the other houses, although it's been, I think, indicated that maybe many houses have gotten variances in this neighborhood for the setbacks. And so I'm concerned that if we mix the idea of mass and scale with variance, then we may get the result where the applicant is being specially denied the idea of his variance because of what he's going to do with it. And I'm not sure that is within our other word for today is purview, and it's not an uncommon word. We use it all the time, but it's applicable here. So it may not be within our purview. And I'm just generally speaking, I'm always very concerned about the idea of government overreach and us trying to work on things that are not within the scope of what we're supposed to be working on. And I do see a lot of complication here with maybe the issues really are with the homeowners association, and that is I'm very confident that it's not our job to enforce those things or to try to step in. Although I do appreciate council's argument that they're in the middle of those things, so yeah, there's a possibility we could wait on ours, but then again, if they're going forward with their litigation, then I'm not giving anybody legal counsel here, but just maybe if we finish up with our administrative matters here, that might actually clear up things in the long run for the applicant. I don't know if that's their business, but if they're going forward with litigation, maybe they would want to
just include everything that they've got going. I don't know. But anyway, I appreciate the time, Madam Chair. Those are my thoughts right now.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Morgan?
I think Commissioner Rice and Commissioner Merlin summed it up pretty on the nose, and to repeat anything else would just be repetitive. So thank you for your comments, gentlemen.
Okay, so just in summary, I agree with my fellow commissioner said, and that I appreciate County Council summarizing really well what's in our purview, what's not, because that was one of my questions, like the scope of things and what we were really facing here. So I do appreciate your input on that, and I appreciate everybody who came out here today. So with that, I think that is the discussion part. I would for a motion.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'll make the motion. For the recommended staff recommendation, find the proposed project is categorically exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act, Class 1, Class 2, Class 3 exemptions, pursuant to Sections 15301, 15302, and 15303 of the California Environmental Quality Act guidelines and County of Orange procedures, and also deny the appeal and approve the planning application 22-0104 for coastal development permit and variance, subject to the attached findings and conditions of approval herein.
Would you like to second?
I'll second.
Let's prepare to vote.
Aye.
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 Any nays, abstentions? Seeing none, motion passes. Thank you to everyone who came out today. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Okay, at this time, I'm going to go ahead and move on to item number two.
Item number two is a public hearing for planning application 22-005, which constitutes an area plan amendment and site development permit to permit the construction of two new single-family residences on lots 4 and 7 of tract 14749. The applicant seeks an area plan amendment and site development permit. Oh, that was for a press, I apologize. For development of two new single-family residences with associated accessory structures located at 20062 Summit Trail and 19942 Summit Trail. Linda Sandusky is the applicant and Bruce Gorin is the owner. This item is located in the Foothill Tribuco community and is located within the 3rd Supervisorial District. Associate Planner Eileen Ludfeld will be presenting on behalf of staff.
Thank you for that. At this time, let's see. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. And the comments?
All right. Well, good afternoon, Madam Chair and the members of the Planning Commission. I will be presenting you planning application PA 220015. As stated by the executive officer, this application is for an area plan amendment and also a site development permit. The area plan amendment is to amend the previously approved area plan 92-04 that established a grading baseline quantities for the track map. And in addition to that, the site development permit is to permit the development of two single-family residences on lot 4 and 7 of tract 14749. The properties are currently, the general plan designation is 1A for rural residential. The 1A designation allows for low density residential development. This is currently a zone, a Foothill Tribuco specific plan. Under the specific plan, it is designated Tribuco Canyon Residential District. The zoning adjacent surrounding the site is also zoned the same. The purpose of the Tribuco Canyon Residential District is to provide for the development and maintenance of low-density single-family residential development in the manner that is rural in character, which is consistent with the general plan. The lots are currently vacant. There are single-family residences to the north and south of this of the lots, and it's vacant property from the east and west. The development standards for the proposed project is defined by the Foothill Tribeca Specific Plan under the Tribeca Canyon District. The proposed project meets the development standards for the zoning district and the specific plan requirements. To let you know that under the specific the grading quantities is actually capped at 3,000 cubic yards. However, there was an approved area plan that was approved by the Board of Supervisors back in October 19th, 1993 that did limit or establish grading quantities for each of the 9 lots for this tract map. They are actually applying for an amendment to this area plan because it does not allow for any cut for lot 4. If you look, according to the area plan, lot 4 does not allow for any cut and only a fill of 1,025 cubic yards. And for lot 7, it only allows for the cut of a maximum cut of 2,181 cubic yards. The applicants request an amendment to cut approximately 666 cubic yards on lot 4. This would allow the proposed residents to blend into the terrain that would be more consistent with the architectural guidelines of the Foothill Tribeca Specific Plan. All other requirements in the TCR district are being satisfied. If the amendment is approved, then the quantity of cut will be allocated to future developments on the tract map, ensuring that the maximum grading quantity will be consistent with the approved area plan. So on lot 4, the applicant is proposing a 6,502 square foot, 3-story residence with an attached 4-car garage and an attached 562 square foot casita. They're also requesting a 666 cubic yards of cut and a fill of 1,030 cubic yards. They're also requesting to revise their scenic easement area because of fuel modification and fuel for fire in regards to the fire requirement that allows for a walkway throughout this site. They're going to be removing 2,106 square feet of from the existing recorded map, but be adding 2,112 square feet. So they'll actually be adding more scenic area than was previously recorded. For lot 7, the applicant is proposing a 5,579 square foot, 2-story home with an attached 3-car garage with a detached 533 square foot guest house. This home will require approximately 2,087 cubic yards of cut. There will be 581 fill and 1,500 cubic yards of export. Some of this export will actually go to lot 4. So there won't be as much truck traffic going through Live Oak Canyon. All right, and this is the, you can see the residential design for lot 4 and for lot 7. Everything in the Foothill Tribeca Specific Plan area is reviewed by the Foothill Tribeca Specific Plan Review Board. They did convene on March 8th, 2023, reviewed the project, and they did approve a 5-0. Staff is recommending the 4 actions written in the staff report. This concludes my presentation, and I'm available to answer any questions. Also, the property owner and his associates are here to also answer any questions if needed.
Thank you for that report. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to question regarding the cut and the fill. So for lot 7, it indicates an export of 1,500 cubic yards. And for lot 4, it indicates a net fill of 1,038, which I assume 666 will be part of that fill. And so that would leave approximately, call it 300 plus or minus cubic yards that would, instead of lot 7 having them truck off site, it'll go to lot 4. Is that right?
That is correct.
And so approximately call it 1200 cubic yards of export.
No, I think it'll be more like, no, well, it's going to, so
for lot 7.
From lot 7, it would be about, 1,200 cubic yards. It would be 1,500 cubic yards of export, but of that, it's going to be the 1,000. They're going to actually use that, about 1,038 for that fill.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they'll be trucking out about 500 cubic yards.
500 cubic yards. Perfect. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Commissioner Weiss?
Actually, I think that was my concern. The only thing that jumped up at me was that issue. So thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Morgan?
I had some questions regarding fire, which you guys answered in the briefing. So I have no further questions.
I feel the same way. So thank you for a great report. Okay. At this time, I open up for public comments. Do we have any public comments? Anyone?
Official. I now have one.
Thank you.
This is Mr. Bruce Gord.
Thank you all. I really appreciate your time. I don't have anything to say. I just thought I'd come up here and answer any questions that may come up. As I've been going through this process for several decades and really happy to see it progressing.
Thank you for that. Does anyone have any questions?
Just a comment, Madam Chair, looking at the elevations that were presented in the staff report, I'd like to just commend the applicant for doing a really nice job of blending the architecture and the structure into the site. So nice work there. A question for staff.
You thank my architects.
Thank you to the architect. A question for the staff is that hold on one second. I lost my train of thought. Let me come back to that.
I would like to just point out that in the Foothill Tribuco specific plan, architectural design, there are actual architectural design guidelines in it, and so we do get to work with the applicants in regards to making sure that they meet it. In addition to that, the Foothill Tribuco specific plan review board is very prevalent in making sure that they do meet the architectural design guidelines.
I remember.
I was hoping that would just do it.
So if there's approximately 500 cubic yards of export and 10 cubic yards per truck, so 50 trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Is there hours of operation and haul route that is prescribed as part of the county's regulations?
Yes, so that we do have construction noise times and construction times for the county. They are Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. There are approved truck hauling routes, yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Commissioner Rice?
Well, we have mentioned it, but I would be remiss if I at least didn't say the words, fuel modification and fire and everything like that, because I've lived here all my life and that canyon has burned down, a bunch of times, and it always will all around it. Maybe if the staff have any additional comments to recap for us what we're looking at.
So in regards to fuel modifications, and those are actually approved by Orange County Fire Authority. Because of the fire issues, this is a high fire severity zone, and I have seen it many times in my time here that fuel mods change project designs. For the Foothill Tribuco area and the Silmot areas, we will not approve anything unless they have an approved conceptual fuel modification, which Bruce Gorin's projects do. So that is the reason why they are asking for an amendment to their scenic easement, because when the original area plan was approved back in 93, the fuel modifications were different back then than they are now. So to meet the current fuel modification, they need to have that walkway going around the building, and it would go into the scenic area. So that's why they're revising it.
And do we have, is it just generally, or do we have in these areas, is there any extra regulations concerning, that may be beyond what we're looking at here, but as far as materials used in building and things like that, obviously we don't use cedar shake roofs.
So properties located within the high fire severity zones and severe fire, high fire severity zones have specific fire code requirements for construction, which include a fire hardening and materials used in stucco, box eaves as opposed to open eaves, use of certain fire rated materials for roofing, and that is all accomplished through the fire code review and building review of the project.
Okay, and landscaping and everything goes into that as well?
Yeah, landscaping would probably be more of a component of the fuel modification to ensure that the planting pallet does not produce any sort of wooded or oily based plants that would actually create a accelerant or a source of fuel. And then additionally, with the new fire codes that have been adopted, there are limitations on the proximity of plantings adjacent to structures themselves.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Perfect. Commissioner Morgan?
I think it's a great looking project. We had a lot of questions about fire during our briefing. Good luck with your insurance.
I'll be speaking to it.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Leos, and everything, especially that last part. So thank you to staff for a great report and great public comments. Anybody, no one else, rather? I'm going to go ahead and close public comments.
Maybe just a I was just here to double check to make sure anyone's climbing over.
I confirm with you.
Yeah. We do not have anyone for that.
Okay. Discussion? This time we leave it open to discussion. Commissioner Bartlett?
No more questions or discussion.
Commissioner Rice?
No, I think I've said just about enough.
Commissioner Morgan? Great. So at this time, I'd like to see if there's a motion.
Madam Chair, I would make a motion that we approve recommended actions 2, 3, and 4. One having we've already fulfilled.
I'd
so
like
two,
to second.
2, 3, and 4.
Let's go for a vote. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstain? Seeing none, motion passes.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay, so at this time in the agenda, executive officer update.
Thank you, Vice Chair, our Chair Perez. Not too much of an update on our side. We are working on a couple of items, perhaps coming to the Planning Commission either in August or September. As soon as we get confirmation, we'll let you know. We'll follow up with that. Other than that, on the hiring front, we have 7 openings in our planning area that we're trying to fill. It is not an easy task to fill, but we're trying. So hopefully we'll get more people to help.
Wow, good to know. County Council update.
Unless there are questions, I don't have anything.
Any questions?
I guess the one item that we do have is the housing element, and yeah. I would just say that we are working through the comments that we received in February. We intend to probably within the next 4 weeks have another draft available for the public to comment on, and we will be resubmitting to HCD. We did receive a letter through the CEO's office from HCD asking us where our draft was. We've really been working on it, and we did have to overhaul a number of things and include more data at the request of HCD. So it has been a little bit of a project for staff, and you just heard how understaffed we are. So that has been a challenge. So that will be publicly released again. It will likely then go to the board, hopefully after we get a substantial conformance letter from HCD.
It will come here first though.
Yes, we'll come here first again, and then we'll go back to the board.
Perfect, thank you. Planning Commissioner comments. Let's start to my left, Commissioner Bartlett.
No, I don't think I have any comments today. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Commissioner Rice?
Well, I'm just noting that Commissioner Hall was not able to be here. We all know because his daughter's graduating from high school. Congratulations to him. I know that she did extremely well, and I believe she's been admitted to special combination bachelor's MD program. So that's pretty special. So today's a big day for them with bigger days to come. So congratulations to him and recognizing his excused absence today. Thank you.
Commissioner Morgan.
Yeah, I just have a quick one. It's about 10 years since I put on a tie. And I wanted to wear this tie to thank and recognize Commissioner Rice for his leadership and his efforts last meeting. I'm very grateful that he was sitting in the seat he was. And so thank you. I can't promise you'll see another tie, but I did want to wear this today and thank you publicly. So thank you again.
Wonderful. Just for myself, thank you for all the help for sharing my first time here. So I appreciate everybody's input and notes and everything. So I really appreciate everybody. And to all the staff who did all the reports, thank you for that. Because they answered a lot of the questions that I had coming in here. So that was great. I want to wish everybody a happy Father's Day that's coming up. And that's it from my end. And at this time, I will open it up for public comments. Seeing none, I'm going to try to get around saying none. Close them up. Okay, and I will go ahead and adjourn our meeting. Our next meeting of the Orange County Planning Commission is tentatively scheduled for Wednesday, June 28th at 1:30. And we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.